sort of memorize the answers and just kind of spew out the answers without really thinking about what those answers mean. I was thinking a little bit about that this week. A couple of weeks ago, Trey spoke, and he spoke on faith, and that got to me thinking about a passage of Scripture in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I got to thinking about it. I wonder what that means, the just shall live by faith. We have, I've had people tell me, you probably have thought this, I have thought this before. You know, life is difficult sometimes. It's stressful, sometimes it's painful, whatever it might be. Sometimes it just gets hard. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. Sometimes it's hard to be obedient to God. And we wonder, you know, how do we do it? So you ask somebody, you ask the pastor or you ask another Christian, and they say, oh, well, you know, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's true, and we can. But how, through Christ, do we do it? And the answer is Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. So I want to look this morning to see what that means to live by faith. First of all, faith is essential to Christianity. We're saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Everyone who is saved was saved by faith in God. The faith to be saved is a gift from God. This salvation is a gift from God. Both of those things are a gift from God, but we're saved by faith. It's not anything that we do, not any great works that we perform, not any amount of money that we give, not any amount of fame that we achieve. We're saved by faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone, and that's it. If you're a Christian, that's the way you were saved. We're also justified by faith. Now, that's kind of a high dollar term sometimes. Romans chapter 1, or chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified means that we are made, the simple definition, we are made just as if we had never sinned. When God forgives our sins, the Bible says that He washes them away by the blood of Jesus, and God forgets them. It's like they never existed in the mind of God. So we're made just as if we had never sinned. So we're saved by faith, we're justified by faith, and if we're going to live the Christian life, we have to live the Christian life by faith. Now that's the pat answer. That's the memorized answer. How do we do it? Well, we do it by faith. But what does that mean? I want to look a little bit this morning and see if we can figure out at least some of the things that it means to live by faith. First of all, we live the Christian life believing in the person of God. We can't see God. I've never seen God. No living human being has ever seen God. Moses saw the hinder parts of God. He's the only one in Scripture that was allowed to see God. Of course, many people saw Jesus in His physical form, but in His holy form, nobody's ever seen God. But we must believe that He's real. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, meaning God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must believe that God is. Now listen, I'm not talking about some otherworldly spirit out there in the cosmos. I'm not talking about the higher power. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. We must believe in the God of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. If you're going to be a Christian, you got to believe that. You got to believe that God was in the beginning. You got to believe that God was before the beginning. You got to believe that God will be after the end. God is eternal. We talked about that last week. We must believe that. If we're going to live the Christian life, we have to believe that. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you're going to live the Christian life, you got to believe that verse. You have to believe God loves us. You have to believe He loved us so much that He gave His Son to die on the cross for us. And you have to believe that whosoever believeth in Him will be saved. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." We have to believe that. To live the Christian life, to be a Christian, we have to believe that verse. We must believe that Jesus came and He was born of a virgin. Listen, we want to, I don't know why we do this. We want to quibble and quabble and discuss, "Well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe He was born of a virgin." And you don't believe in Jesus. Because the Bible says Jesus, the Jesus, was born of a virgin. So if you don't believe He was born of a virgin, you don't believe in Him. We must believe He was born of a virgin. We must believe that He lived on this earth a perfect and a sinless life. We must believe that He gave Himself. He gave His life. He wasn't murdered. He offered His life as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Amen. We must believe that He died. We must believe that He rose from the dead. We must believe that He ascended into heaven. And we must believe that He is there right now, interceding on behalf of His people at the throne of glory. Amen. You cannot be a Christian without believing in God, because those who come to God must believe that He is. Amen. We live the Christian life by believing, by faith, in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We live the Christian life by believing in the power of God. Usually we quote that verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," because we need the power of God to live the Christian life. I mean, let's be honest. You know, I know some people will try to sugarcoat it and make it sound like, boy, you just get saved and everything is hunky-dory. That's an old word, isn't it? Just came to me. You know, everything's fine. Boy, you get saved and everything's fine. You're healthy and wealthy and you're going to live forever and no problems. Well, listen, that's not true. Christians have problems. Christians get sick. Christians die. And so, if we're going to live the Christian life, we must believe in the power of God to get us through this life. If we're going to lean on the promises that are in the Bible, we have to believe in the power of God to keep those promises. Listen, if God doesn't have the power to do what He said He will do, then it doesn't make any difference that He said it, does it? We have to believe God's power to forgive our sins. I referenced a story 2 or 3 weeks ago, Matthew chapter 9, about the man who was paralyzed. You remember the story. And four of his friends brought him to Jesus, carried him on a cot and brought him to Jesus because they wanted Jesus to heal him. And they lowered him down through the roof in front of Jesus because they couldn't get through the doors. This is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." Verse 7 says, "And he arose and departed to his house." He got up, the paralyzed man got up and gathered up his cot and went home, just like Jesus told him to do. Jesus performed a miracle that we could see, a visual miracle, the healing of his body, so that we would know that he has the power. That's what he said, "So that you know that the Son of Man hath power." So that we would know that he has power to forgive sins, which is an invisible miracle. Now listen, Satan will do his best to cause you to doubt that Jesus has forgiven your sin. If you haven't already experienced it as a Christian, you will. I promise you, you will. And usually right after we get saved, we experience the attack of Satan to cause us to try to doubt our salvation. He tries to convince us, "Oh, listen, nothing happened. Maybe you went to the altar. Maybe you raised your hand where you were standing. Maybe you were sitting down. Maybe you were in the car, wherever it was, when you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Listen, nothing happened. Do you see any difference?" He'll try to get us to doubt that God forgave our sins, that God even can forgive our sins. So in order to live the Christian life, we must have faith in the power of God to forgive our sins. We must believe that He can and that He did forgive our sin. We need to believe that Jesus has the power to provide our need. Psalm 37:25, David said, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." Philippians 4:19, this is one we quote a lot, says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." In Matthew chapter 6, if you have time at halftime today, read through Matthew chapter 6. In that chapter, Jesus is addressing the everyday needs of people. Not the great need of salvation, but the everyday needs of people. In verse 25 of that chapter, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment?" We spend a lot of time, don't we, worrying about what clothes we're going to wear, what brand we're going to buy, which store we're going to shop, how much money we're going to spend because, boy, we got to look good. We got to have the right clothes. We spend a lot of time on that. Every now and then, this didn't have anything to do with the message, but this is our break, okay? Every now and then somebody after service is over, they'll come, "Boy, I said, boy, you look sharp today. You really look good." I always tell them, Shara dresses me. So if I look good, it's because of her, because she dresses me. We spend a lot of time and a lot of money on food, don't we? Which restaurant we're going to go to? How often are we going to go? What are we going to buy? What are we going to eat when we get there? Was it good? Was it good enough to go back? Jesus said, "Listen, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear." Same chapter, verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Now listen, "and all these things shall be added unto you." We must believe in the power of God to meet our needs. You know what Satan does? He'll tempt us. He'll try to forsake the things of God in order to provide for our physical needs, our material needs. "Oh, listen, you can't go to church on Sundays. You've got to take that extra job. You've got to take that second job and you'll have to work weekends, but you've got to make the payments on that car. And you've got to have that car. You got to have that new car. Or you need a little bit bigger house. You better get a second job so you can make payments on it." But he'll try to convince us that God won't give us what we need. So we need to forsake the things of God to provide for our own needs. If you're going to live the Christian life, you must believe in the power and the willingness of God to meet your needs. He'll do it. David said, "I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." Have you? Never. God never abandons his children. God never leaves his children. God always gives his children what they need. Somebody said, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about all those Christians who died?" Well, listen, they needed to go to heaven. Sometimes I get aggravated. I guess maybe that's the right word. I'm not sure at people. Well, you know, if they'd have had enough faith, God would have healed them. Or why didn't God heal them? I want you to know something. Every Christian who dies of any disease known to man is healed by God when they die. Because in heaven there's no disease. They're delivered. We have in our mind that healing means physical healing right now, and we get to keep living on this earth. But the greatest healing is the healing that God gives when He takes us home. We have to believe in the power of God, regardless of our circumstances, to meet our needs. We need to believe in the power of God to protect us. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In this world ye shall have tribulation. And when we have tribulation, Satan attacks. And he said, boy, God can't do anything about it. If he could, he would. But Jesus said, I am your refuge. I am your strength in times of trouble. I have overcome the world. And we must believe to live the Christian life. We must believe in the power of God to protect us. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And Luke 1:37 says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. To live the Christian life, we must believe that God is almighty, omnipotent, and that He is willing and ready and able to use His omnipotence for His children, whatever the circumstances may be. Listen, I know, I live the same life that you guys live. I know it gets difficult. I know sometimes it's discouraging. I know sometimes it's scary. Boy, when the doctor says, well, I found something, I'm not sure. That's scary. Several years ago, I had a surgery, and they wanted to give me a spinal instead of putting me out. And I didn't want them to. I wanted them to put me out. You know, I didn't want to know what was going on. But they gave me a spinal. And I was laying there in recovery. You know how they do? The nurse will come by every now and then. She'll uncover your feet and she'll take a pin or something and run it up the bottom of your foot. She did that. Mr. Bookout, do you feel that? I said, no. She covered up my feet. Pretty soon she came back. Mr. Bookout, do you feel that? No. Pretty soon she came back. Mr. Bookout, do you feel that? I said, no. And she said, And I want you to know in that moment, I was scared. I said, what does mean? And she said, it means you should be feeling that now by Mr. Bookout. And immediately I thought, oh my goodness, they've done something wrong. I'm going to be paralyzed for the rest of my life. Sometimes life is frightening. Sometimes life is painful. Sometimes life is a struggle. But always God is omnipotent and He is able and He is willing and He is ready to use His power for His people to work all things for our good. And if we're going to live the Christian life, we must believe in the power of God. Finally, to live the Christian life, we have to believe in the promise of God, and in particular, the promise of our eternal home and our future. This life is not all there is. You know, this life is temporary. We say, I can remember when I was a kid, teachers and preachers and people on the television and the radio and everybody, oh, well, life is short. And I'd be thinking, man, I've got a long time to live. If I live till I'm 60, I'm going to be here forever. Well, I'm 60 years old and I'm telling you, life is short. But this is not all there is. There's much, much more, and much, much better, according to the promise of God. Jesus said in John 14, chapters 2 and 3, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus promised. Now, would you listen to this for just a minute? Boy, sometimes we read the Bible and we just read it through. Sometimes we're in a hurry because we're on our Bible reading schedule and we don't have much time, but I got to read this chapter today. Pause for just a minute and listen to this. The Son of God, the eternal, immortal, perfect Son of God said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. I'm going to receive you unto myself. And I'm going to take you to the place that I prepared for you so that you and I can be together forever in eternity. Isn't that marvelous? Listen, if we're going to live the Christian life, as difficult as it may get and as wonderful as it may be, we need to believe in the promise of Jesus Christ to take us to heaven one day and to live with Him for eternity. Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you're going to live victoriously, joyfully, peacefully in this life, you're going to have to live by faith. Faith in the person of God, faith in the power of God, and faith in the promises of God. So let me ask you, how's your faith? Sometimes it's weak, isn't it? Sometimes it's small. Sometimes it seems like it's almost non-existent, doesn't it? I'm reminded of the story of the man in Mark chapter 9. You remember him? His son was demon-possessed. And for, I guess, for most of his son's life, he told Jesus, he said, the demon has thrown him into the water and thrown him into the fire. And he cast him down on the ground and he convulses. And I've spent my whole life trying to protect my son and keep him from dying. And the demon's trying to kill him. And I've taken him to the priest and I've taken him to the rabbi and I've taken him to the Sanhedrin Council. Nobody can do anything about it. I've had him to doctors and nurses. We've tried medicines. I've tried everything. I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. And I brought him to you. And this is what he said. If you can, help us. Now, don't you feel like that sometimes? I do. God, I've got this problem. I've got this situation, whatever it might be. I have the pain. I have the physical things that are going on. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's family things. Whatever it is, I've got this stuff going on. And God, I've tried everything I know to do. I've asked everybody I can think of to help me. Nobody can do anything. If you can, would you help me? That's not a statement of faith, is it? If you can. I want you to listen to what Jesus said to that father that day. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And you know what Jesus did? He healed his son. He cast the demon out of his son. You know why he did that? Because God wants to increase our faith. All we have to do, Christian, all we have to do is be honest with the Lord. Don't gripe at Him. Don't chew Him out. Don't do everything in the world first and then come to God. Don't wait until you've exhausted every possibility. Go to God first and say, God, listen, I'm not sure. Would you help my unbelief? And would you take care of this? He'll do it. He increased this father's faith by healing this father's son, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to increase our faith. He wants to encourage us. He wants to help us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants us to live by faith. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll come and play a song of invitation. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Try to be still if you can, please. And keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Christian, do you need a little faith boost this morning? It's okay. Tell God. Do like the father of this son and say, Lord, I believe, but would you help my unbelief? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you don't think you have faith enough to believe to be saved. Listen, tell God that. God, I'd like to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost and my sins aren't forgiven, and I'd like to be saved, but I'm not sure I can believe. Tell Him. He'll forgive your sins, and by forgiving your sins, He'll increase your faith. God can do anything. Nothing is too hard for Him. If you have a need this morning, you come while Sheriff plays. Father, I thank you for all of your blessings and your goodness, your grace. I thank you for the gift of faith. And Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith and help us to live by faith in you. Lord, I know there's some people here this morning, maybe some who aren't saved, Lord, that I ask you to touch them and draw them to you that they might be saved, even while I'm praying this prayer, that they would confess their sin and ask you to forgive them. And Lord, I know there's people here this morning, Lord, who are suffering. They have pain. Some have physical pain. Some have emotional pain. Some have problems that they're facing and difficulties and things they're unsure of. Some are afraid, Lord, of what might be happening to them in the future. God, I ask you to touch them. I ask you to bring peace, Lord. I know you can heal, and I pray, Father, those that it's your will that you would heal. Maybe that one who's here right now in physical pain, that you'd touch them, Lord. Right this minute, Father, and take the pain away. You can do that. Those who are afraid, Lord, I pray that you'd take the fear away and give them peace. Those who have problems and difficulties and they don't know what to do, God, I ask you just even at this moment that you'll give them direction. Help them to see the answer and give them the strength, Father, to do what the answer is. Thank you, Lord. I believe in Almighty, Omnipotent God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. Come back tonight at 6. We'll continue our study of the book of Mark. Sharon, would you dismiss us, please?